Hello and welcome to Quantum Living, where you can create your world from within. I am your host, Anna Anderson. In this podcast, you will find information, inspirations, and insights on how to live a happy and fulfilling life in sync with the universe at the intersection of science and spirituality. Take control of your life by learning the principles of quantum living from my guided meditations, reflective commentaries, interviews, stories, touching minis, and more. Welcome to Quantum Living. Let the magic begin. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Thank you for tuning in. In today's episode of Quantum Living, I'd like to talk about a very common issue. And when I say common, I mean that I believe that every human being on this planet either currently suffers from it or has suffered in the past in some shape or form, which can only mean one thing, that this is something we all need to face, recognize, and overcome in our evolution at the physical and spiritual levels. I am talking about emotional addictions more broadly, and in particular addictions to suffering and struggle. Yes, you've heard me correctly. The most profound aha moment in my research and work in the personal development space over the past decades was when my intuitive suspicion and a very scary thought were confirmed by science. A pattern of repetitive, strong negative emotion in a person's life is an emotional addiction, essentially a chemical addiction to the corresponding stress hormones, which is as strong as an addiction to alcohol, nicotine, or drugs. The only difference is that these addictions are created by our internal emotional states rather than by external substances introduced to the body. Based on these findings, I have figured out that by extension, we can become addicted to suffering and struggle, which are life situations evoking whole clusters of negative emotions that our body is craving. No, I'm not kidding. So if you notice a pattern in your life of struggle and suffering from one issue to another with little respite in between, I've got news for you. You've got an emotional addiction. How on earth, you ask, a person can become addicted to an emotion, let alone to suffering and struggle, which are not emotional states per se? Let me explain. You see, emotions are chemistry, and suffering and struggle are the states of being running on a cluster of negative emotions, such as worry, fear, frustration, anxiety, anger, pain, depression, self-deprecating, and victimhood. A typical example here is the battered wife syndrome, where a woman is unable to leave an abusive relationship, and when she finally does, with the help of police and social services, soon after she finds another man who will continue the abuse. She will attract similar relationships, one after another, as if subconsciously wanting to experience pain. The fact is, she does. The question is, why? Every emotion, either positive or negative, is a blend of chemicals, neurotransmitters, and hormones that our brain instantly produces in response to thoughts, either conscious or subconscious. This cocktail circulates throughout the body, producing corresponding sensations that are felt at both the psychological and physical levels. The chemistry of emotion is very addictive if repeated frequently over a period of time, just like the chemistry of nicotine, alcohol, and drugs. This is most noticeable in the case of negative emotions, as they produce stress hormones that our body, in a twisted, self-destructive way, can easily start craving like a drug. If you have a positive thought, it creates a positive emotion of joy, happiness, love, fun, fulfillment. It is uncommon to find people addicted to happiness. The best-known addiction to the feel-good hormones, such as serotonin, comes from the post-effects of a strenuous physical activity, as all fitness junkies can attest to, rather than frequent fun. Negative thoughts create negative emotions, which produce potent stress chemistry flooding the system. And if you don't believe that fear is addictive, why so many people crave those horror movies and want to be scared thoughtless during the Halloween? So how an addiction to struggle and suffering is formed? If you often experience and fuel negative emotions, such as worry, fear, anger, frustration, anxiety, depression, judgment, criticism, self-deprecating and victimhood, in time, they will not only create individual dependencies on their own specific chemistry, but will often create an addiction cluster. An addiction to a particular state of being, which will support a continuous and generous release of all those chemical mixes in one go. You see, the universe is very efficient. It packs as many lessons as it can into one challenging situation and creates emotional clusters as life experiences to help us out. You might know a person who seems to be always angry and frustrated. For no apparent reason. They will break a tree branch, step on a flower, kick the dog and slam the door, just because they feel like it. And they will always look for a fight or confrontation that will help them unleash those stress hormones, this time for a reason to have their anger justified. You might know someone who is addicted to worry and stress. They will always anticipate the worst possible outcome of a situation and will think and talk about it at length to produce those stress hormones. You give them the good news and they will painstakingly deconstruct it to find what bad is lurking in there which could prolong their misery. What we are really looking for is not a fight or bad news, but a fix of those stress hormones our body is craving like a drug. So if your unconscious mind has figured out that the state of mind we call suffering or struggle is a cluster of all those negative emotions whose chemistry you crave, it will guide you to create life situations that will evoke those emotional states so that you can get your fix. Make sense? If uncontrolled, those emotional addictions can set you in a downward spiral like a vortex, attracting all the bad stuff and challenges and conflicts one after another, until you get an overdose, literally, and your physical and mental health will suffer. This is, by the way, often a wake-up call, just like with an overdose of conventional drugs. What is going on, you ask? What is happening to me? So, can these emotional addictions be stopped? The answer is yes. The rehab process is very simple and yet difficult to follow, as it requires consistency over time, which is a weak spot for many of us. There is no magic bullet, and the key ingredients are self-awareness, commitment, repetition, and time. Here is how the process works. 1. Acknowledge and accept that you do have an emotional addiction. 2. Make a firm and final decision to break it permanently, bring your life back to a normal, healthy state of being, and free yourself from this unconscious habit. 3. Watch yourself like a hawk. Every thought, every emotion. The moment you catch yourself on negativity or any emotion that is in the suffering struggle cluster, stop. Replace it immediately with an opposite positive thought, consciously. Don't analyze it, don't doubt whether it will work or not, just do it. 4. Go through the change process diligently and consistently with a positive outcome firmly in mind. Be prepared to feel a bit uncomfortable, that's part of the process. And do not give in to your mind chatter prompting you to stop this nonsense and go back to your familiar behavior, which will make you feel better after all. Five. It may take days, weeks, or months to break the old habit and create new synaptic connections in your brain. So persist. The result is worth it. The key here is increased self-awareness and self-observation. Be aware what you are feeling and why. Shut down your automatic drive, unconscious reactions, and use the manual clutch, conscious response, in your daily journey of discovery through the winding roads of life. And 6. Once the addiction is broken, remain vigilant and self-observant, catching any new negative thought and emotional patterns quickly before they form a new addiction. And daily meditation will also help. And if you'd like to have some professional support in going through this process, please contact me through my website. Now, I need to insert here a big qualifier. Negative emotions are part of life. And so this is not about suppressing or rejecting negative emotions such as frustration, anger, impatience, judgment, anxiety, or even getting depressed once in a while. There is nothing wrong about feeling those emotions. We are humans after all, and these emotions are part of the human experience, enriching it and teaching us something about ourselves and others. The master key here is to process them quickly and dissipate their chemistry in the body before they become a craving-driven habit. So, for example, when you get frustrated or angry about something, stop. Acknowledge your anger and put it in perspective of your life, of the other person or persons involved, or the situation. Is it really worth it to stress out about this insignificant event? Life goes on. The world will not end. And you can take a different approach. Since thoughts generate emotions, the key here is to catch and change the negative thought before it creates a corresponding cascade of stress hormones in your body and dismantle it like in the example I just gave you. Yes, you need to be quick, which comes with practice. So be patient with yourself, knowing that this process will soon develop into a new healthy habit and your addiction to suffering and struggle will soon be gone. Thoughts and emotions are closely connected. I say that emotions or feelings are unexpressed thoughts. They are thoughts in their primordial state, if you like, when they are just pure energy. Some people find it even difficult to separate the two. Interestingly, this is more common with men than women. When I asked someone in a conversation, "What do you think about this?" He gave me the answer. I then said, "Okay, and how do you feel about this?" And he was somewhat confused, saying, "Well, what I think is how I feel, and how I feel is what I think. To me, they are one and the same state of mind." Interesting. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you might have a conflict between your thought and feeling about something, which is a lack of alignment between your mind and your heart. For example, you might feel uncomfortable and anxious about a particular situation, while your logical mind is saying that there is nothing wrong about it. You've been there before, there is nothing to be afraid of. If that's the case, always trust your feeling, not your mind, and don't go there. This is, by the way, a good example of the intuitive feeling arising from the information you unconsciously pick up from the quantum field. And in this scenario, your emotion comes before the thought, which may or may not be fully aligned. It is extremely helpful and important to be able to separate your thoughts from your emotions, as then you can manage them much better. For example, when you feel anxious, and you feel that in your body and in your mind. But anxious is just a specific chemistry of stress hormones circulating through your body, evoking certain reactions. Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your breathing becomes shallow, you find it difficult to concentrate, you start sweating, you may feel weakness in your knees, you get a headache, you are restless. At this point, your feeling anxious is an emotional state for no apparent reason. Until I ask you, what's going on? Why are you so anxious? That's a signal to your conscious mind to connect with this feeling and check what thought is underneath it. What has created it? And so, after a brief pause, you might say, I'm not sure. I think I don't like the idea of the meeting with my boss tomorrow. I know what he's going to say and I don't want to hear that. So now, once you have articulated the thought, connected to your emotion, you can start dismantling it by rationalizing the fear as unreasonable because the outcome of that meeting could be totally different than what you are thinking. Now, would you like to hear some really good news? I said earlier that there is no magic bullet to break this addiction. Well, in fact, there is. In the quantum field in which we all exist, the observer affects what they are observing by the sheer act of observation. That's what quantum physics tells us. The moment you start watching your habitual emotions, they start losing their power by resonating with your intention, and the magic of freedom now truly begins. So, isn't it enough to simply observe your emotional addiction and it will go away? Well, yes and no. It depends, is the real quantum answer. It might work for some and not for others, and there are too many variables to discuss them here. So let's focus on what has been proven to work in this space from the scientific point of view, rather than leaving it to chance, and reprogram your mind and body at the physiological and neurological levels. The observer effect will still support your conscious efforts. You know what they say, the universe is looking after those who are looking after themselves. And now, your coaching mini. In this coaching mini, I will share with you a fun technique I have come up with, which will help you become more aware of and get in touch with your thoughts and emotions and be able to change them at will. This technique extends the connection of thoughts and emotions to words, by the way, since your words with their meaning and tonality always reflect your emotions at the energy level, I've discovered that associating your thoughts and their verbal expression with the corresponding colors can be helpful in noticing and managing your emotions. Imagine that your thoughts are in color. Different colors convey and invoke different emotions, and vice versa. Your emotions, which are linked to your thoughts, vibrate at particular frequencies, which you can see as colors. Everything is energy, remember? The only real difference between all that we can perceive through our senses is the frequency at which those things vibrate. Do you speak most often in blues and greens? These are balanced, inviting, healthy, engaging, honest and generous thoughts. Or is your communication red and orange, with passion, enthusiasm, determination, or frustration and anger? Fire is a double-edged sword. It can be tremendously empowering, but it can also destroy. Pink thoughts and words convey unconditional love, kindness, and compassion, a childlike innocence and an open heart. When discussing or working on a creative project, add some purple to your thoughts. Purple is the color of intuition, magic, and imagination. Perhaps your words and thoughts are often black, full of negativity, pessimism, and depression. When you swear, for example, your words are a mixture of black and red. Swearing, by the way, is your ego's attempt to regain control and self-importance when everything else fails. It has nothing to do with bad manners. Are your thoughts and words sometimes gray, unemotional, withdrawn, bored, or tired? Sprinkle a rainbow into the great cloud in your head and notice what happens. You will smile, I promise. When you have white thoughts, they are light, pure, with clear, transparent intentions, no hidden agendas. It is always good to start all negotiations or otherwise difficult discussions with white thoughts. A clean slate, if you like a genuine handshake. Silver and gold communication, reflecting such thoughts, support advice and ideas, something of value that we give to others. These are also colors of insight. Have you ever had a golden idea bursting like a star in your mind? Silver thoughts are also respectful, appreciative, and wise. And what about yellow? It is an intellectual color of words we use in discussions, presentations, and teaching. When you teach someone, you will want to mix with your blues and greens, some yellow and perhaps orange, which conveys intellect and authority, as well as compassion and understanding. When you pay attention to your thoughts in this way, as colors, you will soon notice that you have greater control of what's coming out of your head, and your communication with others will magically improve. 80% of the population are visually oriented, and many people find it easier to think in images, including colors, than in words. This type of thinking is also much more intuitive, as it is using the right creative brain, so it is definitely worth trying. What colors are you thinking today? What colors would you like to have less of or more of in your thoughts and words? Play with the colors in your mind, have fun with this activity, and challenge yourself to create some unusual colors and strange combinations, and see how they will color your state of mind. And finally, I will give you a very powerful mantra that will help you dissolve the need for any emotional addictions, which are always, always echoes of your past. Say this to yourself several times a day, reflect and meditate on it, let it sink into your being until you feel it viscerally, down to your bones, and in every cell in your body. My past has served its purpose. It is time to let go. That's all for today, folks. I trust you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to find out more about my Quantum Living coaching program, please visit my website at quantumliving.com.au. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be well.